The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Kids on the Go. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Scout Life. We'll start with a short story that was submitted. Stolen Treasures. Just how far will Chris go to help his family? Chris waits while his mom fumbles for the key. The house is ginormous, with big white columns in front, a separate garage, and a swimming pool. Compared to the cramped apartment he shares with his mom, this is a palace. Finally, says his mom, inserting the key and punching in the code to disarm the alarm. I'll start in the kitchen. You can go upstairs. Sure. Chris mounts the staircase with a big plastic bag to collect the garbage. Ever since the landlord raised their rent, his mom has had to work on Saturdays to make ends meet. It's just been the two of them since their dad died years ago. He hates that she has to work so hard, so he insists on helping her out. Chris goes into the room where the owner's son sleeps. It's huge, with a giant flat-screen TV on the wall. There are also two laptops, a gaming console, and a skateboard. Chris feels a stab of envy. And when he empties the trash can, he finds a loose handful of change. Two quarters, a dime, and a whole bunch of pennies. He hesitates before pocketing the money. But he decides it's okay because it's being thrown away. Next, he goes into the master bedroom. As Chris empties the wastebasket, he accidentally tips it over. He bends to right it, and that's when he spies something sparkling. He picks it up. It's a sparkling pin, diamonds, he guesses. It's also a bit dusty, which means it's probably been there for a while. Did anyone even miss it? His heart starts to pound. Who would know if he took it? No, that would be stealing, and stealing is wrong. But this family is so rich. The son throws away coins and the mom drops diamonds behind the dressers, while his mom is working two jobs and they're eating ramen noodles for dinner too many nights. Chris, calls his mom, how's it going? Great. He quickly slips the pin into his pocket. Then he scours the master bathroom, strips the sheets, and vacuums the whole upstairs. It's as if the diamond pin has some magical power to energize him. You're a cleaning superhero, says his mom. They finished ahead of schedule and stopped for pizza on the way home. Only Chris had no appetite and can barely choke down a slice. Are you okay? Asks his mom. I'm fine, says Chris. He forces himself to eat another bite, although the pizza tastes like cardboard. That night, Chris searches online for a local pawn shop. He tells himself he's not really going to sell the pin. He just wants to know what it's worth. On Monday, he has band practice after school, and the day after that, baseball practice. So it's not until Wednesday that he's able to take the long two-bus ride to the pawn shop. His mom's at work and usually goes right home, calling her when he gets there. But today he told her he was going to his friend Gabe's, a big, fat lie. The pawn shop is in a sketchy neighborhood, and the guy behind the counter is scary. Shaved head, black beard, and pierced eyebrows. Where'd you get this? He asks suspiciously. I found it, says Chris. Where? In the park, Chris says. What a lame answer. Well, without a receipt or proof of where you got it, I can't sell it. Oh, Chris feels his cheeks flame. He leaves the shop in a hurry. That night, Chris can barely sleep. Taking that pin was a stupid thing to do. Maybe the stupidest thing he's ever done. But that scary dude at the pawn shop did him a favor. Tomorrow is Friday, and then it's Saturday, the day his mom goes to clean the big house. He'll go too and put the pin back. No one will ever know. Only when Saturday comes, he wakes up with a sore throat and a fever. "You stay in bed and sleep," says his mom. "I'll check in later." Chris doesn't have the energy to protest. He drinks the cup of tea she's made and closes his eyes. "Next week," he thinks as he drifts off. "Next week for sure." He's woken by a sound he can't quite identify. Chris shuffles into the other room and finds his mom sitting at the table crying. "What's wrong?" he asks, though in his heart he knows. "Mrs. Blake says I stole her diamond pin," she says. "She can't prove it, so she's not calling the police, but she fired me." Chris is so guilty and ashamed that he can't even speak, much less tell his mom what he did. On Monday, he's well enough to go to school. He's calm now because he knows what to do. When the bell rings at 3 o'clock, he doesn't go to band practice. Instead, he takes the school bus to the last stop and then walks the rest of the way to the big house with the columns. "Can I help you?" The woman who answers the door must be Mrs. Blake. She's wearing a pair of diamond earrings, but she doesn't look snooty or mean. She looks really nice. Chris's mouth goes dry, and he practically has to cough out the words. "My mom didn't steal your pin. I did." And then he takes the hateful thing out of his pocket and thrusts it at her. "So if you want to call the police, go ahead. Only blame me, not her. And please, please don't fire her." Is he crying? Angrily, he wipes at his tears. "You took the pin?" Mrs. Blake looks surprised. "I did, and I'm sorrier than I've ever been in my whole life." And then he breaks down sobbing. "Why don't you come inside?" Mrs. Blake says gently. "You can tell me all about it." Seated in her fancy kitchen, eating the brownies and milk she's offered, he tells her about the crummy apartment, the rent hike, and his mom's struggle just to keep them going. Mrs. Blake listens intently. She doesn't look angry or like she's about to call the police. Finally, Chris is quiet. He finishes the second brownie. It's like the best he's ever eaten. Ever. And drinks the last of his milk. "It took courage for you to come here today," said Mrs. Blake. "A lot of courage. And I didn't realize your situation was so difficult. Your mother never said so." "She doesn't like to ask for help," Chris says. "Well, I'm glad you did, because I felt sorry about firing her. She's a hard worker and always leaves the house spotless. And it just so happens I've been looking for a live-in housekeeper, and your mother might be just the person. We've got an apartment over the garage that's quite spacious. You could have it rent-free. That would make things easier, wouldn't it?" "Would it ever?" he smiles broadly. "I thought so," Mrs. Blake stands up. "Now how about I drive you home and we can tell your mother together?" Now a story from Scout Outings, honoring heroes at Normandy. Last year marked the 80th anniversary of the largest invasion by sea in military history, D-Day. This operation on the beaches of Normandy, France, helped to end World War II in favor of the Allies. Troop 44 and Crew 44, both of Stuttgart, Germany, visited Normandy for the anniversary, attending ceremonies and learning about the war's history and sacrifices that were made. The troop set up camp in a nearby town park, while the crew camped at a manor near the site of an intense and crucial D-Day battle. On the first full day in Normandy, they stopped by the Airborne Museum, watched a parade, and checked out an encampment reenactment. As they toured the area wearing their field uniforms, people saw them and cheered "Les Scouts" and gave them high fives. On the second day, the scouts attended a D-Day ceremony seated next to the Norwegian delegation. They met with veterans from Norway and exchanged neckerchiefs. They also met with British veterans, hearing their accounts of the invasion. The third day led the scouts to Omaha Beach to visit the Memorial Museum there. After watching a film detailing the invasion, they hiked along the beach where they encountered other visitors, some of whom had been involved in scouting. They met more scouts and adult leaders than the following day as they toured bunkers, a monastery, and two cemeteries. At one of the cemeteries, the scouts conducted a flag ceremony. Throughout the trip, the crew helped during the anniversary events, including serving meals and shopping for groceries. Both units, part of Scouting America's Transatlantic Council, earned Messenger of Peace Championship Unit Awards for their service. Here are some ideas for your next merit badge. Scouting Heritage. Learn about the history of scouting. The National Jamboree is a great place to learn about the history and significance of scouting. If you can't make it to the next Jamboree, consider instead attending Scouting America's High Adventure Base. Keep a journal and document your day-to-day activities to present to your counselor when you get back. Composite materials. What are composite materials? A composite material is a material that's made from two or more materials and, as a result, is stronger than either of those materials used by itself. Thousands of years ago, people constructed buildings using mud and straw, and the result was a structure much sturdier than it would be if it had been built by either straw or mud alone. Today, builders might use steel and concrete to create the structure that's stronger than anything built with only one of those materials. The true story of Scouts in Action. He saved them after their canoe overturned. Robbie Lapham, 14, was on a paddling trip with other scouts and adults on Antietam Creek in Maryland when one of the canoes behind him flipped, pinning two canoeists against a rock. The person in the rear was able to stay above the surface by holding on to the canoe, but the person in the front was trapped with their head barely above water in the churning water. Robbie exited his canoe, ran upstream, then entered the water and swam against the current to help the person in the front. Robbie reached under the canoe, pulled the woman out by her life jacket, and helped her to shore. Robbie then returned to the water and righted the canoe, allowing the other person to swim to safety. Robbie dragged the canoe onto the creek bank. No one was hurt during the ordeal. Star Scout Robert Alexander Lapham, a member of Troop 1887, chartered to American Legion Fairfax Post 177 in Fairfax, Virginia, received an honor medal for his actions. He saved a customer from choking. Joseph Trusiak, 17, was working at a restaurant in Williamsville, New York, when one of the customers began to choke on his food. The man's wife called for help, but no one around them knew what to do. Joseph kept calm, lifted the man from his chair, and performed abdominal thrusts. The man soon expelled the food. No one was harmed during the incident. Life Scout Joseph R. Trusiak, a member of Troop 468 chartered to Lancaster Presbyterian Church in Lancaster, New York, received a Medal of Merit for his actions. He saved them from a dog attack. Josiah Davis, 17, was walking through his Shreveport, Louisiana neighborhood with his cousin and a friend when they were confronted by an aggressive dog. The dog attacked Josiah's friend, knocking him to the ground and biting him on the stomach. Josiah jumped on the dog's back and pulled the animal off the boy. Josiah's friend and cousin ran to a nearby house and the homeowner called 911. The dog then turned on Josiah, biting him on his hands and legs. Josiah punched and kicked the dog until it gave up its attack. Paramedics arrived and took Josiah and his friend to the hospital. Josiah suffered multiple wounds, but both he and his friend recovered. Eagle Scout Josiah Randall Davis, a member of Troop 10, chartered to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, received a heroism award for his actions. He saved them from drowning. Jackson Wethington, 15, was fishing with his friend on a river near Alta Vista, Virginia, when two girls swimming nearby were pulled downstream by a powerful current. Jackson and his friend jumped in to help. Jackson quickly brought one of the girls to the riverbank, but his friend was struggling to bring the second girl to safety. Jackson went back into the water, swam to the second girl, and moved her to safety. When Jackson turned to make sure his friend was okay, he realized his pal was underwater and wasn't coming back up. Jackson dived under but couldn't find his friend. On his second try, he found the boy and pulled him out of the water. The boy was unresponsive, so Jackson began CPR. A nurse was nearby and took over from Jackson while he dialed 911. Jackson met the emergency responders in the parking lot and directed them to the scene. Jackson's friend was transported to a hospital where he soon recovered. The girls were not hurt during the ordeal. Star Scout Jackson Tyler Wellington, a member of Troop 374, chartered in Fairview Church in Danville, Virginia, received an honor medal for his actions. He saved his brother from drowning. Gage Moore, 13, was swimming at his grandma's house in Mesa, Arizona, when he noticed that his 3-year-old brother had entered the water and was struggling to stay afloat. Gage told his other brother to get their mom, then swam to help the younger boy. By the time Gage reached him, his brother was lying motionless at the bottom of the pool. Gage dived under and pulled the boy up and brought him to the side. Gage pushed firmly on his brother's chest, and the boy soon began to cough up water. Gage's quick action saved his brother's life. Scout Gage Moore, a member of Troop 54, chartered to the Sertoma Club of Mesa, Arizona, received a heroism award for his actions. He saved a man during a dangerous storm. Bailey Willis, 17, was driving with his mom to check on a relative during an intense thunderstorm in Atlantic, North Carolina. When he turned, they heard a call on the radio about a man in an overturned camper who needs help. Bailey had to avoid debris and downed power lines, but eventually located the camper. He found the man inside, trapped beneath a couch and a chest of drawers. The camper's propane tank was leaking as Bailey pulled the man out. An ambulance that was called to the scene was unable to get close to the camper due to the obstacles on the ground, so Bailey brought the man to the ambulance. The man was taken to the hospital and soon recovered. Life Scout Bailey Thompson Willis, a member of Troop 252, chartered to American Legion Post 99 in Davis, North Carolina, received a heroism award for his actions. Next is Airy on the Prairie, Scout Answers Reader's Mail. Well, my spring break flew by, and I'm honestly still in vacation mode right now. So this little Q&A sesh, I'm just going to wing it. I love this magazine so much because of these comments and letters. I just joined a new troop, and Scout life is helping my transition. At least one thing stays the same. Thank you for being there and being silly when I'm down, by Tristan T. in Longview, Washington. Hey, Tristan. Joining a new troop can be a big change. especially if you left some good buddies behind. But trust me, you're never flying solo in scouting, and you'll make new friends before you know it. Still, I'm glad the magazine helps pump you up when you need it, and appreciate the not-so-serious stuff is an all-important skill to have. That's why I have a dance-off with my beaked buds at least once a month. I really enjoyed the article about Scout's canoe trek along the Lewis and Clark Trail. The trip sounded exciting, and the photos showed how amazing the area looked. It made me feel motivated about scouting and the kinds of adventures I hope to do with my troop. Thank you for sharing stories like this because they inspire scouts and show what the program is all about. Corbin S., Murray, Kentucky. That canoe trek story is one of my faves, Corbin. I love any story that has to do with water, you know, where fish and other tasty morsels dwell. Speaking of water, Chief Scout Roger has a cool idea in this reply to a recent scout letter. Dear Roger, I'm excited about the Service 250 project you told us about. My troop is working on earning our 250 hours of service, but we're having trouble coming up with ideas. Do you have good ones to suggest? From Ruth J. in Fort Worth, Texas. Yes, Ruth. I happen to have a great idea for you and your troop. See page 5 to read about Scouting for Clean Waterways. This nationwide effort to protect oceans, rivers, lakes, and wetlands involves recycling, cleaning up the environment, and much more. Any time devoted to these projects counts towards your service 250 hours. Good luck to you and your troop, and thanks for your hard work. Recently, I was thinking about what my troop could do for entertainment. I thought it would be fun to go to a bowling alley, movie theater, mini golf course, or something like that. From Liam M. in Palm Springs, Florida. Liam, you're on to something. Troop activities, even meetings, don't all have to be formal. A bowling night or mini golf showdown might be the perfect way to bond with your fellow scouts before taking on bigger adventures and challenges. Also, think about making one of these activities a bring-a-friend night to recruit more scouts to your flock. Be sure to work with your adult leaders to make it happen. I'll see you all in May when we're officially 1 month closer to summer camp and treks. Write in with your summer plans. See ya! Heads up for this month of April. See it! Mario zips across amazing space worlds, meets adorable star-like creatures called Lumas, and joins Princess Rosalina to stop Bowser's biggest galaxy-sized plan ever. The Super Mario Galaxy movie blasts into theaters near you, April 1st. Rated PG. Watch it. The 130th Boston Marathon takes place on April 20th. Founded by the Boston Athletic Association in 1897 and inspired by the first modern Olympic marathon, the event will air live on ESPN2 at 9 a.m. Eastern. For the calendar, on April 30th is National Honesty Day. A scout is trustworthy. On this date, April 2nd, 1792, the dollar is introduced as the standard unit of money in the United States. April 30th, 1938, the first version of Bugs Bunny makes it to the screen debut in Porky's Hare Hunt. April 22nd is Earth Day, a great time to plan projects for your service 250 hours. Help the planet by joining a sustainability effort, volunteering in a community cleanup, or organizing a Scouting for Clean Waterways project. Learn more about Service 250 at go.scoutlife.org/service250. Clean waterways start with Scouts. This year's Earth Day theme is Our Power, Our Planet. Each of us has the power to protect the planet, and one simple way to use that power is by recycling. Plastic can be incredibly useful. Think water bottles, sports gear, and storage containers. However, it also creates a serious challenge. Every year, about 12 billion pounds of plastic ends up in our oceans, rivers, and lakes. This pollution harms wildlife and damages ecosystems. How to get involved? Talk with your unit leaders about organizing a cleanup project in your community. With your parents' or guardians' permission, share your efforts on social media using hashtag ScoutingCleanWaterways. Log what you collect using the Debris Tracker app, a helpful tool developed at the University of Georgia with support from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Scouting America is proud to work with NOAA, Clean Hub, GOAL, Clean Seas, Florida Keys, and the National Marine Sanctuary Foundation to make our waters cleaner. Throughout our partnership with Clean Hub, learn how to extend your impact beyond this project and take meaningful action for cleaner oceans worldwide. With your parent or guardian's permission, go to go.scoutlife.org/cleanhub. Visit go.scoutlife.org/marine debris for help on your journey to earn badges, complete service projects, and make a lasting impact in your community. Now a few jokes. What did the new scout say after his first hike? I have a tenderfoot. Why did the pirates fight each other? Things got a little bit patchy between them. How do trees get on the computer? I'm stumped. They log in. What do you call a dinosaur that explodes? Dynamite. What does a princess eat for breakfast? French toast casserole. You can't see it while running, but you can see it when you stop. What is it? A stopwatch. We have run out of time for today's episode of Kids on the Go. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Kids on the Go is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.